Gross national debt is projected to be 3.56 trillion rand, or 65.6% of GDP by the end of 2020-21. To support growth, therefore, we propose no major tax increases. I don't know where people who talked about VAT increase got that from. Indeed, there is some real personal income relief.
That was a short clip from Minister Tito Mboweni's finance speech. So you might be wondering why Sage is sponsoring a podcast about tax year end. It's because Sage wants to make conversations just like this more accessible to growing businesses like yours. It's so important for a business to have the right kind of information upon which to make decisions that will impact it long term. This is Sage's way of investing in your business. Use this information to make this year the best business year yet. More than a week has passed since the last budget speech, and there's so much to talk about. Boy, did we find out that what we predicted and then what actually came true were two worlds apart. So I find myself back at Sage South Africa's offices with lots of questions. This time I'm in a boardroom, adjacent to teams hard at work. I'm joined once again by Yolandi Esterhazen, Compliance Manager for Sage Africa and Middle East. In this conversation, Yolandi and I reflect on the difference between what we predicted would be in the budget speech and what the minister then delivered to our nation. As you heard, he even cheekily referenced commentators who predicted the VAT increase, so we weren't alone. We return to the idea of people positivity and organizational change, and discuss how building a habit of continuous learning in your business will make sure that you're never caught off guard. Not even when you think what will happen and what actually does turns out to be worlds apart. After having consumed every single article on the internet about the interim budget speech, I pretty much got nothing right. For those who are listening for the first time, this is the one where we have the luxury of looking backwards at what Minister Tito Mboweni said in his budget speech. And of course, Gerard actually said in the last episode, hindsight is 2020, well, the ghost of Gerard's past has come to haunt us, because hindsight would have been great. So, thinking back to what we predicted and what we heard, let's quickly review the budget speech. Why might so many of us have been unable to accurately predict the outcome?
Well, I was obviously one of those that had it completely wrong. And I think taking into account what our economic situation looks like, that made sense. And I mean, we have a great deficit. Our debts are high. So in my mind, it would have made sense to get the revenue. So I'm not sure about the rest of the people, why they got it wrong. I just feel a bit better that I was not the only one.
Why is the interim budget speech and the budget speech that we actually heard, why are they so different?
Why would you say it's so different in terms of the plans that they have?
So some of the common things that we said would have to happen. Gerard eventually came around and realized that personal tax and company tax might need to be raised as levers that would stimulate the gap between the collections and our market. And yet, if you look at what we eventually heard, there was no increase in personal or company tax.
So I think what makes this a bit different is that we were focusing so much on the deficit and the debts that we didn't take into account the effect or the long-term implication if we don't ignite the economic growth. So that is obviously one of the focus points. And I think what was so important is that the minister actually said, you know what, we know we have limited resources. We have to focus on those areas where it will have the greatest social impact and economic triggers. So in order for our economy to grow, and eventually then we will push more money into the economy, and afterwards, obviously, it might be increased next year again. So focusing on one area with limited resources instead of just having to throw a little bit at separate areas and not have the outcome that they want. So definitely, it was hard. It was really hard decisions. And I think that he also said it's painful. It's actually painful sacrifices that you have to make. So yes, we did get it wrong, but I think in the long run, this is necessary. Maybe just to get to the corporate tax rates, that was one of the options that we thought, you know, politically that might be hard to increase. And now it was interesting that he said, well, we might even lower it in the coming years, which is great news. But then in the same sentence, he said that they might limit the deductions, the assessed loss deductions, and review incentives that companies get. So taking on the one hand and giving on the other hand.
On that point, I wanted to ask, citizens like me or people that run growing businesses generally hear for the things they want to hear. So we heard not going to get increase in personal tax, not going to get an increase in corporate tax. What were some of the things that those of us who are not astute listeners might not have heard for that were in fact ways of raising the tax? So here I'm thinking about the fact that like sin taxes went up.
Yes, and fuel levies, so all the usual suspects. The one focus point, and that was obviously the reduction in the wage bill. So they focused a lot on that. If I recall it correctly, it's 160 billion rand over the midterm, so the next 3 years, that needs to be lowered. So in those type of ways, they will make up for it. I'm still a bit worried because it doesn't raise all the taxes that we need or the revenue that we need, meaning we're still in a deficit. And in my mind, it's like we're playing catch up. We will still take a few years to make up the debt in this deficit. We are still with the SOEs. We're still giving them money. And I thought with SAA being at, it seemed like the end of their life in a way with them being put into business rescue. But still, yeah, we are giving them money. So yes, other taxes are raised and they're reducing the wage bill tremendously. But yeah, like I said, some you have to give, some you have to, but some they will take. But eventually we will still have to play catch up until that deficit is sorted or the debt has been raised.
Yeah, I think in many ways, most citizens were expecting an austerity budget. Let's cut, cut, cut. Mm. And what they got was this overwhelming sense of relief, which is kind of a strange feeling because I don't think that many of the international media were expecting the budget that we got.
And hopefully that will give investors a positive outlook. And I mean, we know our rating, the Moody's rating is coming up soon. And hopefully that will have a positive effect on how foreign investors see South Africa. It was totally opposite of what we expected. In fact, I feel very positive after this budget speech. It feels like the minister has touched on so many points that's been bothering for a while that hasn't been dealt with in previous years. This morning, they focus on unemployment. And this morning, they've already published a draft policy on the steps to implement. So, and those things, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight to draft a policy. So it's been like they've been working in the background. They've definitely been working on some of these issues. And the budget speech was actually just, and the State of the Nation was actually just a voice to say, look, we're all working on it. So yes, definitely. Overall, I think actually a positive budget speech. And let's face it, all the individuals, at the end of the day, we're just thinking, how is this going to affect my budget? How is this going to affect my net salary at the end of the day? And people are already struggling to keep heads above water. So I think that was overall for them, for the morale of the country, that was also good.
Yeah, I think the economic indicators, like more businesses now are entering into liquidation than ever before, should certainly have been something that was haunting the Minister of Finance before this.
They're focusing on small businesses. As I said, they want to make it easier for smaller businesses because we know it's the small businesses keeping our economy alive. So they want to make it easier for smaller businesses. And yes, there are some, for example, the VAT threshold, registration threshold, and the smaller businesses tax regime. So there are things in place, but they want to make it even more easier to do business and do cross-border transactions. So a lot of focus was split onto making it easier for them to do business, which I think small businesses, you know, can just be a bit relieved in that sense. Government is actually listening.
I think one of the other things that they made a claim on, and I guess it's maybe the most risky thing, which is the assumption that the deficit will be plugged by decreasing the wages of people who work in government. That sounds great in theory. Do you think that's something that can actually be done, delivered upon?
I mean, those people work so hard. Nurses and teachers. My mom is a teacher. I know what she earns and what she actually does. How much work she puts into and how much effort she puts into her job and the absolute passion and the time that goes into those kids. And I'm I'm wondering if, you know, the balance and between the effort, I know it's what our community needs or our country needs, but then we must be fair in terms of remunerating those public servants. Why would you put in so much effort if you're not compensated well enough? So that we'll also have to see what the unions say about that. I doubt they will be happy with, not giving increases. In addition to that, just another thing that I want to raise is with the national minimum wage. If you think about the old age grants that they've increased, but I mean, it's not even half of the national minimum wage. So it's those type of things. It's our public servants. It's our old age people. We have to start looking at them and after them, actually. Yes. So I don't know. We'll see what the unions say about that. But the focus was much about, like you said, that the deficit will be sorted with that wage bill.
The last time we chatted, people positivity was something that really resonated with me as someone who runs a growing business. Were there reasons to be people positive after this last budget speech?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel positive about this speech. I'm more positive than I've ever been after the previous speeches. So I can just imagine other South Africans also, because I mean, now we have bought from our pockets and you don't have to focus so much just about keeping alive, but now there would be a bit of relief. So that is a main thing. And then in terms of, government is focused on fighting corruption with all those new investigators and everything. That is a big, painful point in this country. And we know that we're working so hard, we're paying all these tax monies, but it's not necessarily used where we think it should be used. And if we know that there are so many plans to fight corruption, that is great. That is another thing that makes me positive is now with unemployment, with the president said about the presidential youth employment intervention. They have so many plans now to fight unemployment. To me, it is if more people are employed, the tax base is increased, which might mean that I don't have to necessarily pay so much tax because the tax base is broadened. More people can be in the tax net. So taking all these things into account, I think it's definitely something to be positive about. People will definitely find negatives. I mean, I've seen a few articles where if you want to be negative, you will always find something to be negative about. But I think that we can really be positive and look forward. Execution is always a thing. We'll see how it is executed and whether all these plans are well executed. But they are plans. And that's the most important thing. And people will be held accountable. And like I said, like the draft policy of this morning that was published already, that is a few months of work. So that tells me they're already in not just a planning phase, it's open for comments. So they're doing something about it.
I think one of the other things that I want to remind everyone is we discussed streamlining businesses. I don't think that trend should necessarily stop because we heard what we wanted to hear from the budget speech. So have you thought about any other ways businesses can streamline yourselves? Last time we chatted, you mentioned organizations could reach out to professionals to help them become more efficient. Were there any other ways that you might suggest they could go about doing that?
Everything is actually going to become easier now in the sense that, and it's not necessarily the business that would have to make changes. I mean, but something that was also announced is the fact that SaaS is going to streamline their processes. One of these days, companies might not have to do annual returns, or the process is going to be much easier, or employees might not have to do individual returns. So I think in that way, that's already, if SaaS is now streamlining their processes, then the companies can focus more on their own or running their business. So that was also a positive about the announcements made. I think it's a constant thing. We must always try and improve our processes. Like you said, never stop streamlining. There are so many ways that can, and we get so used to ways of doing things, but to change our way of working so that our business can thrive, and that is also Sage's vision, you know, to change the way people work and think for their businesses to thrive. So that must always be the mindset of a company. There are so many ways, and not to get stuck in a certain way of doing things because it's been working so well, but always constantly innovate and rethink the way you do processes and utilize. If SARS is changing processes, tap into that. See how you can be an early adopter of the new processes in order to assist the business.
Absolutely. I can't stress enough the successful businesses that we see out there have a engine for learning. And what I mean by that is that when changes like a change in the budget speech, which we were all expecting, come around, they see that as an opportunity for new learning. So trying something new. What I'm seeing from a lot of businesses that are not doing well is that they take for granted the change is coming, so they don't do anything at all. They just sit around. And such a strange situation to be in, particularly if you're succeeding right now, to say, I don't need to change, it's working well. Or that's just the way that we do things around here.
And I think that's something I mentioned in the previous podcast was you have to make sure that the employees or the people you employ are ready for change and they are change adoption is easy for them. So change management is extremely important and you have to focus on that. Things are constantly changing. So if you don't have that mindset of it's okay, changes are okay. It's not going to change my whole world. This can be positive. I can learn from this. It will make things easier. It's not necessary. And I think a lot of the times people are just scared of losing their jobs if things change, if things are streamlined. But that's not necessarily the case. But you have to uplift yourself, learn new skills in order to keep your job and yourself relevant.
How do we encourage entrepreneurs that run small to medium businesses to start considering services that would help them be less stressed about admin? So to kind of go admin free.
It is so much easier. I mean, the thing about this is you can work anywhere at any time instead of having to go into an office to actually print that document that you need. I mean, and with electronic signatures, it would make their life so easy to just adopt. But that to get back to that change management, you have to be open for change. We're not going to be able to force someone that doesn't want to just do everything online. You won't be able to force that person. But once they realize what the benefits are and how easy it is, and I must admit, I used to love printing out all my acts that I needed to read. And now, I mean, I never do, but technology makes it so easy. So we can make our lives a lot easier if we're just willing to be open for change.
I wouldn't have to tell you twice to talk to your kids on WhatsApp, but I have to work with business leaders so much on trying to switch over to something that is ostensibly and rationally a better thing. So I'm so curious as to what stops them from switching to this stuff. I mean, what's stopping you from switching to a cloud solution or switching to a more streamlined way of doing things? What do you think is stopping people?
Losing jobs. That is definitely, I think, one of the things why they don't want to adopt change or make things easier. Because what will I do then? If I now show the company that I can, they don't need me to print all these documents and to file these documents, what else would I do? So I think that is one thing, but that's what I said, like, you have to make yourself relevant still, teach or learn new skills, use that as an opportunity to do something else then. I think it's just the change management. Yeah, just change. You're so stuck in a way, and like I said, you're not going to force someone doing something for years, especially if they older, to change the ways of working. But I think that we must all just be open.
I think reversing a habit is so difficult. I mean, you see this a lot with people that are struggling with their health or giving things up like smoking, that something once it becomes so concrete to the way that you live, reversing it becomes really difficult. I suppose to give people advice on how to reverse a bad habit is to acknowledge it first. So first might be just to name it. So I've seen with a very close family member who runs a medium business. She always says to me at the end of every month, I need to go to the office to run my statements. So in other words, you can't take a holiday at the end of any month. And the second thing is for payroll, she always says to me, well, I need to go into the office to run my payroll. And so for me, that would be a bad habit. It's something that you can locate. And once you name it and say, well, in this case, it's a mother. Why do you go to the office to run your payroll? And she will always just say, well, that's the way it's done. Mm. And so by acknowledging the bad habit, I guess there's an opportunity to look for a better way. Are there any other bad habits you can think of, particularly in the world of compliance or reporting or even payroll, that might be worthwhile reconsidering?
People are so scared of compliance, and it's actually just, you have to just read about it. That's all. There are so many websites, documentation, experts in the field that they can get hold of, but people are scared of it for some reason. The other thing is, if they're scared, they don't want to be involved at all, which is also a problem. You need to know what's going on in your business. You need to comply. If you need to comply with laws, you need to know what's going in, or you know what is that piece of legislation about and what it requires you to do. Then you cannot just say, because if there's an issue, you cannot just say, well, it was my tax practitioner who didn't tell me, or it was my labor consultant who didn't tell me about it. You need to take responsibility. You need to know what's going on in your business, what's required by all the legislations. And yes, it will take time, but that's what you need to do. If you need to run a business, apart from the fact you can get experts, but you need to have an overview of what's going on. Ultimately, you would be held responsible if there's any issue. So definitely just taking responsibility. Maybe I just want to get back to that mom that goes into the office to do the payroll. Maybe she just wants some time away from her kids. Hey?
Well, I mean, you're talking to a child, so I'm quite worried. Maybe you've identified something. It is fascinating. I guess you could argue, why are we talking about this? And the reason why I'm bringing up this idea of change is because what we were expecting from the budget speech and what we got was so different. And so if you don't have a tolerance in your business for change, or an engine for change in your business, there's such a risk that you aren't able to respond to these kinds of things in an ongoing fashion. And what's also startling about it to me anyway is the speed at which change happens. I think that's something that's really, it was so telling that in 2 to 3 weeks, everything felt like it had changed. And the sentiment of the country changed. It was one of, we're going into an austerity budget 100%. Then we're coming out of it thinking, that wasn't what we expected. So I guess the benefit there is, if what you're saying is true, and if you do have an engine for change in your business, what an awesome year to be in business. Something exciting is going to happen. I'm hoping you feel that way too about growing businesses. This feels like an exciting year.
It is. It's definitely exciting. And I mean, now if you've prepared for these changes, it might change next year. Then you're even better prepared for changes for the next year, or even other changes that might pop up during this year. But I'm definitely excited for small businesses, knowing that our president and our finance minister is focused on small businesses. It makes me want to have my own small business now. So definitely, I think an exciting year, a good year.
Let's leave on a positive note, because what an awesome message to leave for South Africans, which is that this might be the year you start your own small business. And if you're doing so, one of the things that I think we want to stress the most is, make this the year of learning. Don't be ignorant about things that are going around about you. Don't stick your head in the sand. If you need to find out information about compliance or legislation, go read it. It's all there. Let's make 2020 the year of small business and learning. They'll go so hand in hand and make this the most people positive year yet. Thank you so much again for talking to us.
Thank you.